But we're going to talk about wisdom and advice for, really, this is sort of scary to say, until Advent. So we've got 8 weeks till then, and this week is just sort of an introduction, looking and thinking about the big topic. And then each week, my goal is to look at a topic and boil it down to just one key thing that God shares with us that's different, yet makes a big difference. So I'm sure I'll have lots of tangents in there, but I could talk on any one of the topics of, you know, finance or parenting or relationships. I could do a series on any one of them. And yet, I don't think you really want me talking for an hour or two each Sunday. So I'm just going to try and boil it down to a key thing. But I want to start this morning by hearing just the contrast between God's wisdom and the wisdom that we come up with on our own. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, and scientists look for proof. Oh, well, that wasn't in there. Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. This is the word of the Lord. So, God's wisdom. This series I'm sort of viewing as a way to say we need to admit some things. We need to admit that God gives good advice. And that if we turn to the Bible, we can find wisdom in here that really impacts our lives. And there are different times we need to admit that. Sometimes it's when we hit a dead end. So I've made up one of these. It says, you know, I can't go any further. I don't know the answer. That didn't work. I need to just admit it and go back to God's ways. Other times, we might be a little bit more like the stubborn teenager, saying, oh, Dad, oh, Mom, I don't, oh, yes, admit it. They know what they're talking about. I love hearing those stories. You know, somebody gets their 20s or 30s and they go back to Mom and Dad and say, yeah, you're right. It was good advice. All right, but sometimes we have to just get to that point and just admit it. You know, yesterday I'm working out there on the pavilion and Jeff's like, shouldn't you block that up? I'm like, no, I don't need to. I'm like, yeah, he's right. You know, we need to listen to advice sometimes and just admit it. And then we can just admit it so that we can be wise, so that we can head in a good direction. As that verse I shared with the kids said, you know, the way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise listen to advice. I've had our kids memorize that passage, and, you know, one of the first things after we were looking at it was the fact that there's a key piece missing in this wise proverb, and that's which advice do we listen to? Yeah, the fool listens to advice. Well, there's all sorts of advice out there. Just a couple of verses earlier in Proverbs 12:5, it says, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Well, so the wicked and the evil, they give advice too. So we don't listen to all advice equally. We might say, oh, I'll listen to that and say, ooh, that's bad. But we need to figure out which is good advice. And so how do you know? How do you know which advice is good? And we're going to talk about sort of the beginning and the end, but I was just thinking about all the advice that we see in our lives, especially in our media-saturated culture. If you're on Facebook, there are a number of us who are on Facebook regularly. There's all sorts of five things you need to do before you're 40, and three ways to be happier, and 12 ways to be wealthy. And there's just all this advice that's out there. And you go into work and there's that inspirational poster that these are taken off of, teamwork is what work, or whatever it is. There's all this advice. So how do you know? And I say we need to look at the beginning and the end. And what I mean by that, a beginning, is what's the source. Check out the source. So if you're writing in the sermon notes, you can write the word source in there. Of where is this coming from? When I look at, we spent the last couple weeks looking at world religions. When I look at world religions, I say, where is this coming from? Okay, is this coming from somebody who tried to start three religions before it, wandered through upstate New York and finally hit on a winning combination and was a bit of a fraud before all of a sudden had this large following? Maybe I won't take that religion quite as seriously. If I say, well, hey, this guy was a marauding raider who was run from town to town and then found this religion. So what's the source? Where's it coming from? Because just because somebody's famous, just because somebody's got a microphone, just because doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good advice source. So what's the source? Is this coming from study? Is this coming from research? Is this coming from experience? Where is it and who is it coming from? And I'm not giving a black and white answer on that, but whatever your area is, whether this is at work or spiritually or with family, what's the source? Because I know people that make it sound so good. I'm like, well, but what do they actually know? That's one thing, and then the other is the end. And that is the results. What has happened when other people have followed this advice? What is the likely outcome? Because I think of some parenting advice that I've heard. It's like, oh, well, just be their best friend and never discipline and never correct, and then they'll figure it out on their own. And then I look at the kids down the road and say, that's not the result I want. That's not the end I want. And so when I'm parenting, I say, well, hey, let's look at the results at the end. Let's look at what's likely to happen. And so there are all sorts of things that we can get advice from, but just as a general rule, look at the source, where is it coming from, and look at the results of where does it lead. Because good advice comes from good sources. I know that's simple, it's trivial, come on, we came here to get some meat and this is just like fluff, but I want to start there. Because if we don't stop and realize that, we can get some bad advice. We can get stuff that sounds slick, is packaged well, but doesn't work. Good sources. One of the best sources is people that are successful at what you want. We from time to time, run the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class here. And Dave Ramsey, when he was trying to figure out how to do finances, he went to the Bible, but he also went to millionaires. And say, what are millionaires doing that got them where they are? How do wealthy, successful people manage their money? And it's like, well, don't go to the guy who's broke. Don't go to the financial counselor that's meeting in a pop-up trailer. No. Look for people who've already figured it out and learn from them. But the trick is, as I said, somebody can package it real smooth. They can look real good. And it can sound great, but maybe they actually don't have it all together. Maybe that financial counselor is in this really cool office and they're mortgaged up to here and they're in debt and their marriage is falling apart and their kids don't want to talk to them. All right, but they packaged it well and they're selling it. So my advice is to work at people we know, get to know people personally, and say, okay, this may not be the best parent in the world, but I want to learn from them because I see that. I've got an aunt and uncle that we used to sort of make fun of because they're fuddy-duddy and uptight and all sorts of rules and stuff. And then I look at how their kids turned out, and it's like, wow, they got some good stuff going on. We do Friday night, pizza night, movie night. We've done this as a family, our entire time as a family, even before kids. Well, that's taken from my aunt and uncle that for them it was Saturday night. Didn't matter what school activities, what was going on, we are together at least one night a week. And we do church together every Sunday morning. You know, they had these things and it gave kids lots of other freedoms. But I knew them personally well enough to peek under the hood and say, yeah, this is a good source. So that's one thing that we can always be working on. But now I'm going to jump back to what makes this unique, and that's God. Of that the gold standard for good advice is the God standard. So if you want to write the word God in there, again, a little cheesy, a little cliche maybe, but really, if you're saying, what is the best advice out there? It's from the guy who figured it all out, who made it all, who put it into motion. It's from God, the Creator. The one who loved us enough to reveal all of this. The one who loved us enough to send Christ to us. God gives good advice. Now, if we look through history, people can take what God has said and twist it and warp it. So, again, we need to know God personally. We don't need to just go with hearsay, and you shouldn't just, oh, there's this one thing, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, that's in there. We better not spare the rod. We better just beat our children. Well, that's just not the complete picture of what's in the Bible. All right? So we need to know the whole wisdom of God and apply it to our lives and how we live. Because there's an ultimate question of what level of advice do you want? Do you want just normal advice, or do you want super normal advice? And I thought I was being so clever coming up with, supernatural. Well, I'm going to call it super normal. Actually, it's a word. It's in the dictionary, I found out. Super normal, like that above normal that God can give us. Just like we know what supernatural means. It's beyond the natural. Well, there's this normal stuff. And they're super normal. It's better. It's from God. And it can change our lives. Now, the normal is not all bad. I don't want to say, oh, never listen to the advice that you get in the world. Well, come on. There are experts in all these different topics. There are people who have figured things out. The Bible does not cover everything in detail. So there's good normal advice. But the trick with normal advice is it's a mix of good and bad. It's a mix of, godly and worldly. And we have to sort that out. But if we go to super normal advice, then we hear something different than what we would come up with on our own. And we grow more than we would in any other way. We're blessed more than we would in any other way. So I just encourage you, as we're going through this series over the next 7 weeks, you're thinking, okay, well, this may sound different, this may sound strong, I don't want to hear it, but maybe we need to admit it, that some of this super normal advice that nobody else is saying is better. I've walked through a number of couples in crisis and heading towards divorce, and sometimes they end in divorce and sometimes they don't, but the couples that listen to God's way through that end up with such a better result. Even if it ends in divorce, which sometimes because of the other partner, it happens. But even then, the supernatural or supernormal leads to something better. But God's ways, even in crisis and divorce, are different than what the coworker says. Again, going back to who do we listen to? If we want to figure out how to work through our marriage, do we listen to God's wisdom? Do we listen to godly couples? Or do we listen to the nagging coworker who's just been through her second divorce and really hates men? And who do we listen to? We all know that person. Because there is better advice from better people and people grounded in God's Word. So I'm just sort of throwing out some groundwork ideas in this. And the final is that advice comes in different ways, depending on who we are. And I want to think about this in the family structure and just maturity. That when you've got a child, you give them clear commands. That's the level that they can take. There's a stove. Don't touch the stove. All right? It's just a command. Now, it is advice. It's advice, you know, don't touch the stove, but it's given as a command because that's the level that they're at of no, yes, go, stay. Because, you know, a little child, that's all they can grasp is basic commands. And then as they get a little older, you know, it's still commands, you know, be back by this time. Don't go there. Do eat that. And there's this commands, but that has to give way to adolescence where it's guidance of, okay, I really don't necessarily think it's wise that you go to this party, but it is your choice. And there's guidance given at the adolescence level of, hey, here's some really good advice. Here's a way to go. No, just stay on that one, Josh. And so we can give the guidance to kids. But then when things go sideways, when there are problems, it's, hey, let's say, no, that was a bad decision you made. Let's learn from it. And then finally, with adults, there's counsel. And, you know, you don't go to an adult and say, do this, do that, unless you're paying them. All right? Unless you're the boss, you don't give advice by commands. And sometimes it's not even guidance. It's just like, let's think this through together. This is a situation that is unique to you. Let's think it out. Let's work through it. Let's look at the options and let's figure out a good way through it. You know, so whether it's children, adolescents, or adults, the advice is given in different ways. And I really believe that God does the same with us. As we are maturing spiritually, it's not an age thing. It's a spiritual development thing. So let's think about the commands of God. You know, that God says, all right, sometimes there are just commands. You're getting going. You look at the nation of Israel. They have been a nation of slaves. They get out to freedom. They've never been free before in their lives. And God says, here are my commands for you. I'm going to give you the law. Do this, don't do this. Go here, don't go there. And those commands, some of them were things that would change with Christ. Of some of the cleanliness laws of, you know, before you eat anything, wash your hands. You know, and Jesus is like, yeah, well, you know, that was then and this is now. But it was actually good advice on all sorts of levels. It set them apart, but it also kept them healthy. And I think Jesus normally washed his hands. So I didn't say that Jesus doesn't want you to wash your hands. All right. But there are these commands that some were just to set patterns and teach that, like a kid, you know, don't touch the hot stove. Well, once they're older, they can realize, oh, I can work with the stove responsibly, and I can understand the powers of it and what it can do. But then there are other things that, you know, we are given as commands that just stick with us. This may turn some of you off, and next week I'm going to talk about giving and tithing. Well, there's a command from the beginning of the Old Testament right on through. It's like, hey, give back to the God what's God's. And that's a command that sticks with us. So, you know, help those in need. Honor your mother and father. These commands that are given, that stick with us. But then, as we mature in that, God says, hey, here's some guidance. That I'm not going to command this because there are some things that I can't command as God. I want you to love me with all your heart. That's guidance from God. God can't say, you must love me. He's like, no, I this is going to be better. This is going to work. Here's some guidance. Love me and love your neighbor from the heart, not just external. The commands can often just be external. Did you go here? Did you do this? Did you avoid that? But the guidance gets to the heart. Where we lean into the commands and start to understand the heart of God in them and connect our heart to the heart of God. So the guidance gets a little more personal. And then I really believe God gives us counsel. Where there are just things that we have to sort through. There are unique things of, do I take this job or that job? They're both good jobs. Do I move here or do I stay there? Do I have my mother move in with us or do we put her in a retirement home? All these different things where we need counsel. And God's wisdom can take us through that as we face our specific challenges. So commands, guidance, and counsel, those are all advice. They're all ways that God gives us good advice. And we need to be open to the different levels. So with that, I want to jump back to where we began, 1 Corinthians. And just think about what God does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's laying the groundwork for the rest of it. And he says, well, the Jews, they demand a miraculous sign. And the Greeks look for wisdom. And I went ahead and modernized this a little bit. And the scientists expect proof. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, and inconceivable to scientists. But to those whom God has called, Jews, Greeks, and scientists, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is Christ. That's the starting foundation for all of this. Is not saying, I can figure it out, but humbling ourselves and realizing we need a Savior. Humbling ourselves and saying, yep, to those who want to have it all figured out, to those who want all the wisdom, all these things, no. It comes down to Christ and Christ crucified on a cross. And that's just a strange concept. Maybe you've been in church long enough that sounds normal, but God hanging on a torture device dying for us is a strange concept. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. It's inconceivable. Yet that is the start. So I encourage us, each one, to hold on to Christ. And as we go through this series, listening to God's advice, we realize that Christ is God's word, God's wisdom to us. So read the Bible. Get familiar with it. And you say, I don't know where to start. Or maybe, you know, sometimes, dude, I'm out of it right now. I've got a suggestion during this series. And that's to read the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, it's the wisdom, it's right about in the middle of your Bible. And there are 31 chapters. So if you want to, you can say, what day of the week is it? Oh, it's the 8th. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 8. And just read through it. And as you go through, you'll see different sort of themes and ideas and sections where it's just one, you know, bit of wisdom after another. But there's a great way to each day hear a little bit more of God's wisdom, of going through the book of Proverbs, a different chapter each day. If you want to, you can just start today with chapter 1, or you can start with chapter 8, whichever. But it's a way to get into God's word. And I just challenge you and encourage you to take that step to listen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the wisdom and guidance and counsel that you give us, even the commands that you give us. Lord, we thank you for that. And we just pray that we may be open to your wisdom. We may not be stubborn and hard-headed, stiff-necked, but that we can be open-hearted and loving and serving and open to what you have for us. Lord, we thank you for sending Christ to break down the wall between us and you, that we may have a better connection with you, that we may know you personally and trust you wholly. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your guidance. Amen.